A friend said to me the other day, you know, it seems like the world is going crazy. there's Paris, terrorist attacks in Paris and London, the most beautiful cities in the world. There's some crazy guy with a knife on the train in Portland that killed a couple of guys. And in our nation's capital, there doesn't seem to be anything but confusion. And in our personal lives, it can seem the same way, I know. Not enough time to do the things we need to do. Stress at work and stress at home. Illness for ourselves and those we love. Life can seem chaotic at times. So it may not seem strange that the very first verses of the Bible begin with chaos. The story of creation in Genesis starts with a scene of chaos. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Just chaos. Can you imagine that scene? A formless void makes me think of intergalactic dust swirling around the universe and dark matter and black holes. Just utter chaos. And a wind from God sweeping over the face of the deep makes me think of a night at sea when there's a terrible storm and water is everywhere. The images that it creates in your mind are just utter chaos and disorder. And it's out of this chaos, the Bible says, that God created the universe. The creation story appeared during the time of the exile of the people of Israel. You remember the history. Around the year 900 BC, King Solomon built the temple as the dwelling place of God. And for more than 300 years, the temple in Jerusalem was the place where God dwelt. And the people would go up to the temple to offer sacrifices. And they believed that God dwelt in the midst of them and would save them from their enemies. Surely God would preserve the temple and preserve Jerusalem. But in the year 587, the Babylonian army came up to Jerusalem. They laid a siege and they conquered the city of Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. They took away all the beautiful things inside it back to Babylon. And they tore down the walls and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And they took the people of Jerusalem away in chains to live in exile in Babylon. It was a terrible loss for the people of Israel. For two generations, they had to live in exile in Babylon in a foreign land. So imagine life for the exiles in Babylon. Everything that they knew and trusted was gone. All the things that they believed in, the walls and the gates and the towers of Jerusalem, the quiet courts of the temple, the holy of holy places in the temple, all their homes were gone, their goods, their gardens, their rituals, their songs, their festivals, they were all gone. They didn't have that anymore. They were living, essentially, in chaos. And worst of all, their belief in a loving and powerful God was gone. How could God let this happen? They planted gardens, and they built houses, and they learned how to survive in a foreign land. I can imagine that it might have been tempting for them to give up their God and believe in the Babylonian God. I mean, after all, hadn't the Babylonian God proved himself to be more powerful than the God of Israel? So it might have been tempting. There's only one problem, and that was that the Babylonian God was a warlike God, an angry and cruel God that demanded absolute obedience and allegiance to the empire. And I'm sure the people of Israel thought, what happened to our own God, a loving God, merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. What happened to that God? So the Jewish people struggled to find meaning in the exile. And they came up with some very creative solutions to keep their identity as the people of the God of Israel. You know, when life falls apart, what you do is you try to put pieces back together. You try to find some meaning and create some way to reestablish who you are. So one of the ways the people of Israel did this was to come up with the creation story. The creation story was written in exile, and it started in chaos, which is where they saw themselves. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and a wind and darkness was on the face of the deep, and a wind from God swept over the waters. That describes how the people of Israel felt. It felt like chaos to them. Then, out of chaos, God creates. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that it was good. And God separated the light from the dark, and he called the light day, and he called the night, or called the dark night. And it was so. And there was evening and morning the first day. And this creation story goes on for 6 more days. Each day, God creates a little bit more of the universe. And there's a pattern to it. Every day, it says, God said, "Let it be." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning the next day. So this rhythm of creation is like a song or a poem. Every day is another stanza in the poem, and there's a refrain that comes up every time. It's comforting. It's like a lullaby that you sing to a baby. Over and over you sing the thing until the baby goes to sleep. It comforts them. I'm sure that the people of Israel told this story to each other over and over in order to create a sense of order in their lives, in order to remember who they were. We are the people of God. We are the people of the God of Israel who created the world and made a place for it, and this world is good. That's who we are. You know, a lot of this creation story, bringing order out of chaos, is sort of like it is in the Gospels. Jesus, you remember the story about Jesus when he was with the disciples in the boat and the storm came up? And he told the sea to be calm. "Peace," he said. And the sea was calmed. He brought order out of chaos. And when Jesus met the demoniac who was raving and crazy, he cast the demon out of the man, and then the man sat at his feet in his right mind. Jesus brought order out of chaos. Well, the creation story says that on the 7th day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested. And he blessed the 7th day, and he hallowed it. So, the exiles began to rest on the 7th day. The Babylonian culture didn't have a 7-day week. They didn't have a day of rest. But the exiles made it a day of rest, and they established this 7-day week in order to give them a sense of rhythm and balance in their life. Every Sabbath, rest. Every Sabbath, order and not chaos. Every Sabbath, prayers and songs to remember. They put order in their lives. They reinvented their world in the image of God. I think we do this too in our own way. A friend told me that when she really gets stressed, what she does is she cleans the house. She comes home and She moves the furniture and she vacuums in the corners and she does the laundry and she puts everything in the drawers. She cleans the kitchen and she puts up all the dishes. And when she's all done, she goes and she sits in her chair with a cup of tea and she looks at the order in her house. She knows that she can't control the whole world, but she can control a little bit of it there in her house. And then she can feel at peace. I think that's sort of like what the people of Israel were doing in Babylon, in order to remember who they were, the people of the God of Israel. Well, do you see how the Eucharist does the same thing for us? We come to church from a world of chaos. It seems like things are going crazy. But we come here and we enter into this rhythm of the liturgy. Blessed be God, the Lord be with you. We believe, we confess, we pray, take and eat, go in peace. There's a rhythm to it, just like the rhythm of the story of creation. And as we enter into that, our lives are put back in order and we remember who we are. We're the people of Jesus Christ, the people of our God. We can't control everything in the world. But we can rest on the Sabbath day and trust in God's providence. And that's what we do in the Eucharist. Amen. Amen.